Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Jack Hoffman. For nearly 31 years, Tico Steakhouse has been a staple for fine dining in Jackson, Mississippi. I would like to invite you to come experience our family tradition of our hospitality, sizzling steaks, and healthy poured beverages. Call today or stop in and experience Tico's in the second generation.
With locations in Ridgeland on County Line Road and now on the Square in Oxford.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Tuesday night to this edition of the Rebel Report. I appreciate you being here on Snowpocalypse 2025, volume number two. For those of you in South Mississippi, you got historic snow. We got a bunch of pictures from our radio audience today on the coast, and unbelievable visuals. People in Biloxi and Gulfport and Goshen sending us these pictures of, by the way, flexing these people were on how awesome their backyards were. We had people that were backed right up to the ocean with pools and stuff sending us their snow pictures. And it was awesome. I was very jealous. And so we've had a snowstorm in North Mississippi. And so if you draw a line where that snowstorm stopped in North Mississippi, and then you draw a line where the snowstorm today stopped in South Mississippi up, that space in between is my house. It's literally just my house. Everybody else in the state got so, except for us. And that stinks out loud, but I hope you guys had fun and are enjoying it. I know school's getting canceled down there tomorrow as well. So hope you guys are enjoying the snow. New Orleans looks amazing. Truly, like, visually stunning is New Orleans in the snow. It's beautiful. Really interesting, to say the least, visuals today in places that usually do not get snow, like what they got and what we got here in the state so far today. But we're not talking about snow tonight. We're talking two things. We've got some way too early top 25s that have come out. I'm specifically going to bring up ESPN's, and the prompt of the night for that is Ole Miss underrated going into 2025, considering what they've done so far in the portal and things like that. Are they underrated? And also, there's a basketball game tomorrow, a big one in Oxford. The students are back finally, although they're wearing T-shirts that I cannot stand because The game day T-shirt for the Ole Miss students is literally just a big SEC logo. Like, not the SIP thing. The SIP thing is awesome. It's a great idea. It's very easy to make, and it looks good. No, it's just an SEC logo. Like, you are playing a team from the SEC. It's not like it's the Big 12 Challenge or anything. It's like everybody else in the league is actively trying to defeat you in every way imaginable, and, of course, you are them as well. Don't cheerlead the conference when you're playing a conference game. Makes no sense to me whatsoever. But aside from that, the students are back. The atmosphere should be crazy. And it's a big opportunity for Ole Miss coming up tomorrow. So we'll talk about both of those things on this edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the channel if you're watching over on Super Talk or listening over on Super Talk. Don't forget to like and subscribe there, as well as right here and wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition and every edition of this podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered for small business. If you're a small business owner and or you want to start a small business and you don't know where to go, 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799 is the phone number. If you need legal advice as a small business owner or you want to start one, that's the number to call. Also, personal injury. If you've been personally injured, don't waste another second. Do not delay. Call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm today, 662-397-9799. So ESPN puts out a way too early top 25. Also, Andy Staples and Ari Wasserman put theirs out. And I was joking on the radio show that I think that both of them need to be sent to prison for their way too early top 25. And not because Ole Miss was excluded. That's not a frankly, that's not a hill that I think that anybody should die on. And we'll get to that more in a second. But having Auburn at 11, I had somebody respond to me and say, I kept looking at 16 through 25, wondering what you were upset about. I didn't think to look in the top 15. It took me a second to realize that Auburn was ranked number 11, right to jail. You guys have seen Parks and Rec, right? At least you've seen the GIF. Right to jail, right away, both Andy and Ari. Just go to jail. And, you know, not prison, not like a six-month sentence, but I think that the two of them, who I like a lot, I really, really like Andy Staples, and Ari's been a guest on the radio show, and he was insightful and well-researched and, like, prepared for the interview, so I like them both. But I hated their top 25, and it really has nothing to do with Ole Miss's lack of inclusion. I just thought the whole thing was awful from those two guys. But you also got one from ESPN Today. It had Ohio State 1, Texas 2, obviously. Those are going to be the two darlings to start next season. But Ohio State loses a ton of production in players. I understand why they would be. I would rank them there as well. But I'm not so sure that Ohio State's going to be the favorite next season. Anyway, Texas 2, Penn State 3, that's way too high. They're going to be the exact same team they were this year. But I get it. They won a couple of playoff games to their credit. Notre Dame 4, Georgia 5, Oregon 6, Clemson 7. I like Clemson in 2025. I really do. I like their defense coordinator hire, guy that you are familiar with, and Tom Allen. Klubnik returning. They've got a lot of pieces back. I like Clemson. LSU 8, that's way too high. BYU 9, I get it. South Carolina 10, also probably too high. Iowa State 11, Alabama 12, receiving the benefit of the doubt that they do not deserve. Nick Saban's not on the sideline anymore. Illinois 13, which Illinois is going to be, I think, 2025's Indiana possibly. They bring a lot of guys back, including their quarterback. Arizona State 14, SMU 15, Kansas State 16, Indiana 17. I have a feeling they are not going to win 11 games this year, but they are in the ranking, I suppose. Florida 18, Tennessee 19, Louisville 20, Michigan 21, Texas A&M 22. I don't get it, but oh well. Miami 23, Boise State 24, and Ole Miss at 25 in ESPN's way too early top 25. So are they underrated? Getting left out of one or being at the very bottom, quote unquote, of the other, is that overrated? I, for what it's worth, I do think that they're going to be somewhere around 2021 when the first AP poll comes out. I think Ole Miss is going to start the season ranked somewhere in the 20s. On one hand, you've got, I think Ole Miss should justifiably receive the benefit of the doubt because of what Lane Kiffin's been able to do over the last 4 years. Ole Miss has been consistent. They've changed quarterbacks. They've changed personnel. And yet you still can expect a pretty consistent football team. I mean, even Lane Kiffin's bad team, quote unquote, bad team, won 8 games, and it should have been more had there not been every distraction imaginable, self-inflicted on his part, impacting the program at that time. So again, his bad team was still not bad, right? So he gets, and I think he has earned the benefit of the doubt to slap a 21 next to Ole Miss to start the 25 season, and it's all good. But I think it's totally within bounds, to be honest with you guys, to leave Ole Miss out of the top 25 or have them ranked at 25. Just considering how much they lose in the uncertainty around their replacements. Everybody around Ole Miss absolutely adores Austin Simmons. They love him. They think he is a star. There's a reason that Lane Kiffin did not even try to get any of the decent portal quarterbacks. They are all in on Austin Simmons. He's supremely talented. I like what they've done at wide receiver in the portal. I really like what they have at tight end. I like what they have on the defensive line, for sure. So there's a lot to like, but they're losing all four quote-unquote starters on the defensive line, depending on how you want to classify Centarian Perkins. But Ivy, Pegues, Nolan, Princely, all gone. Chris Paul, gone. Trey Amos, gone. I mean, there's so much missing production. A quarterback that had the all-time, in terms of production, greatest career in the history of the school, gone. Best wide receiver, gone. It's a bunch on the offensive line, gone. So I think that, like, if I were ranking these teams, I would put Ole Miss somewhere in the 20s because I do, being you know, watching them closer than other people, you can tell, and you guys too know, that yes, like, Walter Nolan's gone. I'm not saying Xavier Harris is Walter Nolan, but Ole Miss has a really good replacement at nose tackle already. Like, that guy's already there. You know what I mean? They lose Chris Paul, but right next to Chris Paul was a highly productive linebacker in TJ Dottery, and they've done a really good job at that position in the portal. They could not possibly handle the running back situation worse. You hope they recover from whatever the heck that was this past season. People outside of Ole Miss don't realize the ceiling that Austin Simmons has, which is incredibly high. As Michael Jordan said, his ceiling is the roof. So I don't think that it's a hill that I'm going to die on. I think it's totally justified considering what they have lost to have questions enough to not rank them going into the 2025 season. I'm still concerned about the secondary. I'm still concerned about running back until they prove it, although they've added some nice pieces there, but still. And I'm concerned about offensive line until they prove it. But I would not be surprised at all if you look up this time next year and the final AP poll is coming out like it did today, where Ole Miss was ranked 11, and they find themselves on it. The schedule sets up nicely for them. They get 8 home games. I believe in their quarterback. I believe in a lot of the pieces they have, especially on the defensive line, that not enough people are going to talk about this offseason that proved that they were capable. But are they underrated? No, I think it's absolutely appropriate even to leave them out, but especially to have them somewhere at number 25. So what do you guys think? Let me know in the comments. The next thing, and I think the more pertinent thing right now, but if you can lead with football, always lead with football, is the basketball game tomorrow night with Texas A&M. What a massive opportunity this is for Ole Miss to continue building momentum. This is the best team that has played in Oxford so far. The students are back, so the atmosphere can finally have what you really need in a home court. I'm not saying the crowds were bad for Georgia and LSU, but with the full complement of students, that absolutely changes things. And now you've got the casuals' attention. Even with what happened on Saturday against Mississippi State, you're 4-1. You're in absolutely outstanding shape. You're 13 in the net right now. And here comes a Texas A&M team that is good, that is ranked. They're 14-4. Their best player in Wade Taylor has returned. You know what you're going to get with a buzz coach team. You're going to get really good defense. They've got a pair of guards that can beat you. But aside from them, they have nobody else averaging in double figures. It's a winnable game. It should be a good environment. Students are back. And like I said, the casuals are paying attention. So from like a season perspective and getting to the tournament, it's a quad one home win opportunity. If I'm looking at this correctly, Texas A&M is 19 in the net, and I don't think that they would drop below 30 if Ole Miss can get the win. So they can get to their fifth win, right? They can get to 5-1, which would be so big because a difficult stretch is coming because it's the SEC and they are. But when you're playing the numbers game, to get to 5-1 is just absolutely massive. But you've got a bunch of people on top of it all that maybe aren't the biggest basketball fans that have been told that they have a good basketball team that will watch tomorrow night, and it's a good chance for you to sell Ole Miss basketball to the casuals. And I think that's a big opportunity on both of those fronts, both in the metrics and also with that. The key tomorrow night for Ole Miss, I think this game is exclusively about Ole Miss and what they do themselves. Again, I know A&M, they're going to defend well. They're going to be scrappy. They're good, right? They've got a couple of good guards. But Ole Miss has got to find a way to start this game strong. They've played 5 games in the SEC, none of which they've started well offensively. This is a great opportunity for them to have that moment to start a game well, because they've been unable to do that. So that's what I'm watching for, is if they can get easy looks and run offense where there's a lot of ball movement and things like that, getting instant productive offense to start a game for the first time in conference play this season. And then a bounce back from Malik Dia. There was a quote. I had somebody comment last time, which I appreciate, by the way, questioning what I said about Malik Dia. But don't take what I say for it. Here's Chris Beard. Quote, we needed a paint presence today, a rebounding presence. What we did not need was another guy shooting jumpers and fadeaways. Malik Dia dominated Alabama with effort and rebounding and physicality. He was exceptional a week from tonight against Alabama. Was not so much on Saturday against Mississippi State. It looked like they were able to knock him off his game, and he was not able to match Mississippi State's physicality. His coach said as much. So that's what I'm watching for, is some aggression out of Malik Dia, being able to provide the physicality down low and also the balanced offensive skill that he can provide, because Mississippi State punked Ole Miss on the boards and in the physical side of the game. And it also, you know, the officiating allowed them to do that, which is totally fine. I'm not complaining. But they need him to – they need the Tuesday Malik Dia to show up again. The I'm bigger and stronger than you, and I want this more than you, give me the basketball kind of night from him. So those are the two things I'm watching, how they start offensively, and if Malik Dia can get back to being that physical guy. If they can do those things, they're going to win tomorrow night. And they will travel to Columbia with, I don't know, I overuse free shot, but with another golden opportunity in a game that they don't, quote-unquote, have to win. But I do think they got to win two of their next three, with Texas coming to Oxford next week. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So if you're a tech company, or any company, if you're an office in Mississippi and you need technology, is what I should have said, absms.com is the website. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need, what your budget is, and they'll find a solution for you on me. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. All you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Now that the college football season, the first message says, is officially over, I can say that I got my fill. Wasn't that invested in Notre Dame, Ohio State. They can make some adjustments to the calendar, I think, to eliminate that. There was too much time between the end of the regular season and the national championship. There was way too much time between the rounds. And the NFL's got it right. It's just 1 week. There's a week between games. You get that they end and you get right back to it. The regular season ends and boom, it's the playoffs. You know, you just they get right into it. College football, the regular season ends, and then you have the conference championships, which may or may not matter anymore, and then you take this weird break and have this time off, and then you play these games on Thursday and Friday, and then the next Monday, and it's just there is way too much time between games, postseason games in college football. They need to shrink the calendar. That will help some as well. State got splattered. Yeah, I guess they came back a little bit and played better in the second half. I stopped watching at halftime, to be fully transparent with you, but they did not shoot the basketball well at all, and that'll get you beat every single time. Snowing in Long Beach, Mississippi, for probably the first time ever in my lifetime. It's unbelievable, man. We had some of our radio audience, a guy was like, I'm 60 years old. I've never seen this before. It's pretty cool. It's weird hearing about snow in Mississippi, not getting any in North Mississippi. Hey, at least you got some last week, though. Not getting any snow, but just the brutal temperatures, close to 10 to 15 degrees. My computer's telling me right now it's 20 here. It'll be 15 when we wake up in the morning. Yikes. That's not fun. That's not fun at all. Got 6 inches of snow today. That's incredible. Hope you had fun in it. You say, yes, Ole Miss is underrated, but would rather sneak our way through the season. Those shirts are horrendous. Side note, stay off the roads. You may have four-wheel drive, but you don't have four-wheel brake. Will the crowd on Wednesday break the pavilion record for attendance? No, it will not. Just weekday games are too hard to get to, I think. The Auburn game, a week from Saturday, that I would bet would break the Pavilion attendance record. You don't hate the student t-shirts as just a general shirt with an SEC logo on it, just not fitting for a student section. Some of them have been awesome this season, though. Absolutely. And hey, free shirts, right? But just get, you're not rooting for the SEC here. But same type weather system occurred about 20 years or so ago, so it's not a first type happening. But isn't the amount record breaking? I mean, you had the first blizzard warning in South Louisiana ever, but you like low expectations for football, but how much does that affect recruiting? Not much. Not much. The only what you really want a preseason ranking for is playoff positioning, because they clearly, undeniably, they're humans. And perception of who you are when the season begins impacts how you're treated later on. You want to be ranked when the season begins. You're not punished as much. There's a perception thing with rankings that pay off later. Alabama scoring 100-plus again tonight. Yeah, and the thing is, man, they're so good, and that win is going to hold up. It's really, really, really going to hold up so well for Ole Miss. I don't think it was a fluke, though. Auburn at 11 in the actual preseason polls. I mean, Freeze loses his job midseason. I sure hope that the AP poll voters are not as ridiculous as Andy and Ari, who, again, I really like and respect a lot. So, yeah. Bama wins looking great right now. It'll continue just to look better and better. That's going to be such a that'll be – when you're comparing resumes, like to give a team a 4 seed or to distinguish in between a 6 and a 5 or a 5 and a 4, if Ole Miss really starts playing well and continues to play well, I should say, 4 and a 3 – is a win like that on the road. That's one of those, that's a trump card is what that can be. Still not a believer in LSU, probably around a 9-win team. Last I saw, Garrett Nussmeier is one of the preseason Heisman frontrunners. I saw that, and I got a good chuckle. LSU in 25 is going to be what they were in 24 and 23. They're going to be good. They're going to be miserable to play at their place, and they're going to lose 3 games. That's what they're going to be under Brian Kelly for the rest of time. It's who he is. Saw the ESPN ranking this morning and was confused if this was real. The 8 to 25 rankings were terrible. I think that does go to show you, though, that I think this coming season, it's really just a massive toss-up. There is very little, to me, guaranteed separation. Like, where do you draw the line of, okay, these teams are clearly better than those, right? Where do you draw that line? I think there's going to be a lot of balance in 2025. Doesn't matter where Ole Miss is ranked next year, a wild card team you'd have somewhere in the 20s range. If they just win their early winnable games, they'll move up steadily and fast. Absolutely. Yes, they will. Something interesting is that since beating Louisville to open 2021, Ole Miss has been ranked in every regular season poll since 2021. They fell out at the end of 22, which is the only unranked period. That's amazing. Consistency of Kiffin. He's earned that benefit of the doubt. It's basketball season, brother. Pumped up for tomorrow night. I'm very excited to watch this game and see the Pavilion be what it was built to be. You know, I'm excited for all that juice to be back. And we'll be live. I know it'll be late, but we'll go live tomorrow after the game, because why not? Why not? The Pels are actually playing good, even though it's better if they lose. They started playing good when they needed to lose. Yeah, and if you follow me long enough, you know I'm very anti-tanking. I don't like it. There are only so many seasons you have in life, you know? And I never want to emotionally invest in something that is losing on purpose. It's so miserable to go through a season where a team is clearly not trying to win. I would rather you try to win than lose on purpose. because that's just a wasted season for me, and I don't know how many I have left. And with the NBA and the lottery situation, having the worst record doesn't guarantee you anything, you know? So I like that they're winning, frankly. I mean, 7 of 10, it's kind of a long shot, but with Zion healthy, they could sneak up into the play-in, and I'd rather they try to do that than tank for the number 4 pick or whatever. Wade Taylor will be back, so we know Ole Miss will make it a priority to defend him, and they can do that. They will be able to defend him. They've shown it. Padula and Morrell can defend even a great player like Taylor. Can't get punked by their size, and frankly, it's past time for them to come out in a game shooting well, no doubt. How many people will be at the game tomorrow night? Actual butts in seats, I'd guess over 7,000. I think that's a reasonable expectation for a late night, Wednesday night tip-off, 7,500. I think maybe even more. Hell, it could even be more. Not all that many tickets left, and I would assume that they're going to give any that they have left over if there's any surplus line, because they only are allowed to let a certain number of students in and just send them up to whatever seats are available. So maybe even more than that. Hate that the student section has been shrunk even more than how small it usually is. The band was moved, which removed about 100-ish extra seats. Should let them sit in empty spots if possible. Yes, they should. Fun fact, every SEC football team finished with at least 3 losses. Last time that happened was 2000. I did not know that. What a stat of the day right there. The Auburn game will definitely set the record and maybe the state game after it. I have never been more confident. And now that I shouldn't say this because you guys are going to get mad at me because I will jinx it totally. But I said after Saturday that I think this series is going to go like last year, where last year Ole Miss had to fight like hell to beat Mississippi State at home and then went to Starkville and got beat pretty bad. I think the flip is going to happen. State had to fight like hell at home to beat Ole Miss, and I think they're going to go to Oxford and get beat pretty bad. I think it's going to go down like that. Going to assume there will be a massive line for the game tomorrow despite the cold. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, man, the students, since the pavilion has been built, have done a really good job with basketball. They really have. Even the Kermit David years, Davis, the end of those years, there were still good student sections. They've done a really good job making that look and sound and feel good. Yeah, almost finishing 11th ahead of SMU and Clemson because they were better than SMU and Clemson. They were. I think Ole Miss will win 24 games this year. Let's see, how do they get there? They've got 15 right now, so you think they're winning 9 more games. Okay, so that'll put them at 12-6 in the SEC. Let's see. How do they get to 9? Now I'll try to get there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You can get to 9. You don't have to stretch to get to 9. Now, they've got to play well. They've absolutely got to play well. But you can get it with A&M, Texas at home, splitting Auburn and Kentucky at home. So, okay. A&M, Texas 2, splitting Auburn and Kentucky 3. At LSU, out South Carolina, those are both difficult. I mean, they're road games, and they're never easy, but get both of them there. State at home, they're 6. And 3 of at Vanderbilt, at Auburn, Oklahoma, Tennessee, at Florida. They can get there. I think I would bet on 11-7 right now. Kentucky game might be the largest midweek basketball crowd. Oh, especially if, I mean, whew. If they can beat Auburn, I don't even think it matters if they beat Auburn, but I think Ole Miss is the overall better team than State. Yes, they lost the game Saturday, but I mean the body of work in the eye test. State has more losses and got blitzed twice on the road, and it took overtime on their floor to beat Ole Miss. So I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of with you there. So I'm surprised none of you guys brought up Quinshon's night last night. I'm kind of glad we talked about it a good bit on the radio show. And you know, we've talked about the running back situation a lot. Quite frankly, I think it's pretty simple. And I don't know. I don't think that this position is particularly arguable. They chose to let him go or whatever, right? He could have come back. They did not want him back. And if you're going to do that, or if you're going to have a player that's really good like him, that's going to be trouble, you either A, try to get all the people involved in a room and work it out, right? You do the kumbaya thing. You get everybody on the same page. You bring in a sports psychologist. I don't know what you do. You try to figure it out, right? And you try to make it work. But since they were unable to do that for what seems like an obvious reason, if you're going to do that, what you have to do is replace him with competency. If Quinshon does what he did last night, but Ole Miss had a running back that ran for, you know, 900 yards, and they were good at running the football, then okay, whatever. You know, nice game. He figured it out after being trouble in Oxford, all good. But when you tell him to go, and then your running back room turns into an absolute crap show, and then he thrives in the national championship game, you should get one more round of scrutiny for how you handled the running back situation. It's not that they let him, they told him to go. It's that, that's not the issue here. It's that they told him to go and then replaced him with crap. That's the issue. And it is okay to scrutinize a $10 million football coach. It is fine to question a decision that he made. He has done an exceptional job at Ole Miss, and he's also a human being that at times makes mistakes. And they screwed up the running back room to the point where I think it cost them the playoff. I know there's other factors. Make a field goal here, catch a touchdown pass here, don't throw an interception here. I understand that. But the botched running back room, whether it be if you disagree with letting Quinshon go or telling him to go, or you think they should have played Bentley more, or you think they misevaluated like Rashad Amos from the portal or misused Henry Parrish, whichever angle, they screwed it up. And that's okay to say. They screwed it up badly. And that, with a better managed situation, makes the playoff. So it's okay that they told him to go. It's not okay what happened in the room after the fact. And now the door is closed on that saga. Last night, of course, it was going to get brought back up again because of what he did on the field. Now it's kind of over. They couldn't block up front, nor did they play the one guy who was explosive. Yeah, I mean, it's just total mismanagement. Total mismanagement. But they still won 10 games. So they mismanaged the hell out of the running back room. I think did a poor job of coaching offense in multiple games. Fell short of expectations and still won 10 games. And Kiffin's elevated the program. It's undeniable. He has absolutely elevated the floor of Ole Miss football. All of that can be true at once. So, anyway, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. We'll be back live tomorrow after the game, because why not? I know it'll be late, but we'll be live after the game tomorrow. Hope to see you there. If you're going, be safe, have fun, raise hell, and I'll talk to you guys after the game.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.